Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. I am Executive Director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. And we look at the world through the glasses of a biblical worldview and a father who cares about the world in which we live. Dave Buhner in studio with us today. Here's what's in the news. Canada kicked out its government. Apparently, they voted a no confidence on their government. That dissolves the parliament. They start all over again. And the reasons for Canadians being unhappy with their government, the radical homosexual agenda, which had been coming down the pike in Canada for some time, hate crimes laws and all the other things, and then high taxes. But the real reason is this: no good hockey players. All the good hockey players leave and go to America, where taxes are much lower.
Take off, eh?
That's the deal. And here's an interesting story from Vienna. That's out in Europe.
That's where those little sausages come from.
Yeah, apparently. This British historian, David Irving, he's known for controversial views on World War II. He's staying in custody in Vienna while he's charged with denying the Holocaust. That's what a court ruled on Friday. And evidently, he's up for 1 to 10 years in prison because he has denied the Holocaust. Now, there's a few nutcases out there that are doing this. In fact, I knew one. I won't mention his name. But this David Irving guy is denying the Holocaust. He's up for 1 to 10 years. He's a British guy. Happened to be in Vienna for a weekend or for a week, and they nabbed him, and now he's up for a few years in prison there in Austria. Well, this is very interesting. I mean, we got a lot of thought crimes going on here. And by the way, Adolf Hitler was interviewed on this one. Speaking from the grave, he acknowledged support for the Austrian law. Quote, "I support tyranny of all kinds, especially if it involves prosecuting thought crime." So, you know, it just depends on what kind of tyranny you have. You know, if you're going to be bringing out sort of these sorts of laws where you're controlling what people think about historical events, you're going to have a lot of trouble. I mean, what do you do with people who deny that the Earth is round? You know, they exist.
Well, yeah, the Flat Earth Society. Mm-hmm. But this isn't just what people think. This is what people don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a crime because
he doesn't think that it existed. And he doesn't. And maybe there are some people out there that don't think that there are Roman persecutions of Christians. How many years is that one? That would be probably 10 to 15 years. And if we're going to be doing this sort of thing, the thought crime police are going to be very, very busy. And of course, the hate crimes laws that are coming down in America are moving towards this direction. Now, the good news is that remember the Swedish pastor who was arrested for preaching that sermon last year against homosexuality because the Bible has some somewhat negative things to say about homosexuality? Am I out on a limb on this one?
No, he used the Bible.
He used the Bible in Sweden. Yeah, he used the Bible, and they appealed the case all the way to the high court this morning. The case was dismissed, thank God. More in the news, Christian schools in California are giving up on Christian curriculum. Now, this could affect Christian schools in every state around the union, so it doesn't matter where you're listening. This could affect you and your state. Any private school that wants to keep its students academically eligible for admission into the UC system, the University of California system, that includes Berkeley and a bunch of other schools out there on the left coast, if you expect to have your students academically eligible for the UC system, you have to use the approved secular textbooks. It applies to science, history, literature, and government, not to math. It's interesting. Doesn't apply to math, but applies to any subject that has a worldview, a very important worldview conflict going on right now. Calvary Chapel Christian School in Murrieta, California, has changed over to secular textbooks. They're reassuring parents that they are not using the disapproved textbooks and courses. These are Bob Jones and Abeka curriculum because they want to ensure that their students remain fully eligible for a humanist education in the University of California system.
If you use the secular textbooks, can you get into Bob Jones University?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe we should call Bob Jones on that one. Well, the question today, folks, is should you send your child to a secular humanist university? A secular humanist university, of course, being a public university where the official state religion, the mandated religion in those universities, is humanism and naturalism. Should you send your child to a public university? That next on Generations. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, today the subject is, should we send our children to public universities where oftentimes the wrong worldview is conveyed to our children? But, you know, I want to get back to this issue of the Christian schools in California, and it's not just California. I know Christian schools in Colorado as well that only accept secular textbooks in their science, history, and literature classes because that makes them legitimate to the University of California, other systems around America. So what's happening here is the universities, the secular humanist universities, are driving the worldview of K-12 schools, even private schools. And it seems to me that if you are spending $5,000 or $6,000 to send your children to a Christian school, wouldn't you expect Christian curriculum?
That the name Christian school would sort of lead one to think that maybe they're doing some Christian studies.
Yeah, yeah, that it would be applying a Christian worldview. So if there's nothing different except for the fact that maybe they mutter a prayer before the class starts. Lord God, please bless us as we study this secular humanist junk today. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we get on with the class. It just, to me, that does not seem like enough to warrant a $5,000 check each year. Well, anyway, that's beside the point today. We want to talk about universities. And see, it's the universities that are driving the curriculum in these K-12 private Christian schools. So what is it that attracts Christians to secular universities? Except for the fact that somehow they think their children are going to be successful in life and are going to, you know, have that life of, what did Francis Schaeffer say, personal peace and affluence, and that's the track to personal peace and affluence. Now, as it turns out, Jesus didn't say, seek personal peace and affluence, and all these things will be added unto you. It was something else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That was it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this personal peace and whatever you're going to need in life is going to be added to you. So our focus in life ought to be the kingdom of God. Well, what kind of issues should Christians think about when they consider secular universities? First of all, is it a sin? Well, I can't say it's a sin. It's like asking the question, is killing somebody a sin? Well, it could be a sin, but it may not be a sin. I'd have to ask five more questions before I could answer that one. So I'm not going to say today on the air here on Generations that sending your child to a secular university is a sin, but it could be a sin. There's a lot of factors that come into play. First of all, what is happening in education? What is education about? Well, in the Bible, education is about discipling character, right? That's what education is. I look at the book of Proverbs. Look at what God has to say about education. Education is character development. So if good character development is happening in a secular university, then I'd say it's a good idea. Now, the other thing, it has to do with worldview. Should you go into a secular university where an improper worldview is being taught? I think it has a lot to do with whether there's a warfare mentality in the mind of that child, or that child is adequately prepared for that kind of a situation. Some children will be eaten alive by the wrong worldview, and in the end, they'll be virtually powerless to change the culture. And, you know, the real test is whether or not your child is prepared to go into any environment that may be opposing their worldview. It has to do with the verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5. I think you know this verse. And that is, God commands us to bring down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. And you know what? That happens in college all the time. Just about every class, you're going to have some ideas, some imaginations that are encouraging the class not to fear God, not to believe what God has to say about origins, not to believe what God has to say about ethics, not to believe anything the Bible has to say about anything. And the responsibility of that child in that atmosphere is to bring down those imaginations. He has to be able to stand up against it. And Dave, this came home to me about 2 to 3 years ago is when Matthew Shepard, remember Matthew Shepard, the homosexual, was killed up in Wyoming?
Yeah.
A sad story. Well, I was invited around that time to speak on the issue of what the Bible has to say about homosexuality at a college in Denver. That was a challenging moment in my life. I was about 36, 37 years old. I had had seminary preparation. I had studied what the Bible has to say about ethics. I'd studied apologetics. I'd studied a lot of courses. I was scared stiff.
Did you go home wearing a salad?
I tell you, I was scared. I couldn't sleep the night before it happened. Well, I went in and I did it. I did it. They gave me a full hour. It was fantastic. But it was scary. And I brought out what the Bible has to say about sin. And I said, you know, we're all sinners here. We're not. It's time to stop making excuses for our sin. Whether you're a homosexual or a liar, you're going to have to stop making excuses for your sin and come before the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why he came here, to die for those sins and receive his forgiveness and repent of your sins. That's the responsibility of every person in this classroom. And, you know, you could have heard a pin drop. It was a fantastic opportunity. But, you know, I asked the question, is my little 12-year-old daughter ready to go into a classroom that opposes her faith, the way what she believes in terms of the truth, and cast down those imaginations at 12 years of age? I don't think so. There are a lot of 18, 20, 22, 24-year-olds, Dave, that I'd say aren't ready to engage this sort of warfare.
It's tough. There are a lot of 40-year-olds who aren't ready to engage this kind of warfare. There are a lot of people who go by the name of senator and congressman and judge and professor who aren't ready to engage this kind of warfare.
Yeah. Well, another issue that needs to be worked out is, first of all, you got to ask yourself, are you prepared, are your children prepared, worldview-wise, to take on a worldview that opposes their faith? Then you need to decide on what track your child is in. Are you in, and I'm going to distinguish it this way, the entrepreneur track or the corporate track? This is important. This is important. Some people say you could be a top of the ditch. You go to college. If you're going to work in the ditch, then you're going to do the entrepreneur track or sort of the career track. But I wouldn't distinguish it that way. I think that's wrong. We need to distinguish it differently. I mean, some of the richest guys in the world never graduated from college. I think of Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Henry Ford, Ray Kroc. These guys weren't in the ditch, right? These guys were some of the greatest entrepreneurs, the richest billionaires in all history, didn't go to college. Now, in the corporate track, you're going to work for somebody else, or you're going to work for the government, and you could work as a Supreme Court Justice of the United States, but you're going to work for somebody. And success in the corporate track is not achieved in the same way as success is achieved in the entrepreneurial track. If you're in the corporate track, then you typically go the college route, because colleges and corporations have established alliances. So the area of corporate work you are headed towards is going to drive the sort of college you're going to choose. Certain law offices will take only from certain Ivy League schools and so forth. But how do you know which track you're going to be on? Well, first of all, the corporate track will allow for more impact from the outside, or from the inside, excuse me. The corporate track will allow for more impact from the inside and probably quicker short-term income and impact. In other words, the entrepreneurial track will take you a little more time to get it up and running. It will call for more careful planning, incredible diligence, character, and wisdom to go the entrepreneurial route. If you go the corporate route, you go through the college route, you could achieve that $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year a little quicker than the entrepreneurial track. The corporate track is more based on a model that does not accept the concept of unified households or the freedom concept we get in 1 Corinthians 7:14. So we have these two tracks, the corporate track and the entrepreneurial track. And Dave, you and I both went the corporate track. You went to college, right?
Yeah.
I went to college. I got my degree in mechanical engineering a number of years ago, worked in mechanical engineering for 12, 14 years, and eventually took the flying leap out of the corporate track more into a entrepreneurial track. So there's a lot of people that do that switch later on in their lives. What do you think are the benefits of the corporate track, having been there?
Well, the benefits are material. In other words, you get a salary, you get some feeling of security with pension. 401k contributions, your employer is paying most of your health insurance, you know where you're going to work, and as long as the employer has work, you have a place to go.
But, you know, the corporate track doesn't always deliver on that security they promise. You know, you get in the 1990s and the 2000s, and there have been some tremendous, huge layoffs. I think of IBM and Martin Marietta and other large corporations. They've gone through some serious layoffs. I'm not sure they deliver on that security.
No, and we see this especially with, like, General Motors right now, where the pensions that they had promised previous workers, they didn't have fully funded, and now the current workers are going to be laid off because they can't afford to give them the same pension plan. We have pension rating. We have more corporations are outsourcing employees so that they don't have to provide a pension or even a 401k, some kind of benefit to them, so they move them offshore just to avoid paying that. So what ends up happening is the corporate life actually leads to more instability than stability that it promised.
Yeah, and the corporate work or the corporate track doesn't always provide for the flexibility that many of us like. And this is a question of values. We have to ask ourselves, do we want flexibility? And the flexibility would be in a couple areas. One is the area of involving your family in your life. And the worldview that we have discussed on this program again and again has been a worldview where we integrate the family. We reintegrate the family into our lives. The Industrial Revolution was based on a bad worldview. It was a segregating worldview. It took the dad out of the home, took the mom out of the home, took the children out of the home, put them in public schools, segregated classrooms in the church. It segregated life. And life has been very much segregated in the last 150 years. So the entrepreneurial track can bring, it doesn't always, but it can bring a little bit more of a family integration or a unified household model into your work life. And I think that's a benefit of the entrepreneurial approach.
Well, yeah. The idea that your family has the opportunity to participate with you, that you can, if you're a plumber and you run your own business, you can take your son, you can teach him the trade. When I worked at that large corporation that I worked at, more people were successful who had lost their family or didn't have a family than those who actually wanted to spend time with their family. That was not an attribute to success within the corporation.
The corporation doesn't respect that. It's because their worldview that constructed it over the centuries was a bad worldview. Now, I'm not saying that we can't get back into some more contractual relationships and some integration of families into our lives, even within a corporate model. But the corporate model doesn't always provide for that. The other thing is sometimes the entrepreneurial track works better in some fields than others. Think about this. It works better for house builders than for firemen, for example. I mean, it's difficult to, you know, establish your own fire trucks and your own fire business when you've sort of got businesses that already run that and cities that run that sort of thing. It works better for civil engineers than for mechanical engineers, or at least those mechanical engineers that are going to work in a large plant assembly work and that sort of thing. So there are certain things, certain areas where the entrepreneurial track will work better than others, and these certainly should play into the decision that people make when they make that college decision, whether it be a secular university or a private Christian university.
And there are some fields that are just going to require a university education. The medical field is going to require, because you have to pass board tests and certifications, you're going to have a medical school education, which is by and large the university system. If you're going to be a judge, you're going to need a law education from an accredited law school. So there are certain professions that's going to be a requirement, but it's certainly not a requirement for as many that we think there are.
And one of the things that everybody should keep in mind when they make this college decision is that you can move from the corporate track to the entrepreneurial track later on if necessary. You could begin with the college corporate life and eventually start your own medical business or your own law office. These things are done quite often by those who want to have a more of a family integrated entrepreneurial approach to business and life. Ladies and gentlemen, today we've been talking about the college question and whether or not you should send your children to a public university. Big questions, life questions today on Generations. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Generations. I'm the producer of this program, Dave Buhner. Kevin Swanson is not available at the moment. But hey, I want to wrap up this conversation about making decisions about college by suggesting that you invest in your child's future. I suggest that you do that by opening up a CD. I'm not talking about a financial CD. I'm talking about a CD that you put in your CD player and listen to. It's called Making Wise Decisions About College. Making Wise Decisions About College. It's done by Vision Forum and Doug Phillips. It's available at checkbooks.com on the web or by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's C-H-E-C. 877-842-CHECK. Now, I should point out that CHECK is not a financial institution, does not guarantee a return on this investment on this CD, but I'll give you my personal guarantee. This is a good presentation that will help you think through some of the questions about where and when and if you should send your child to college. That's Making Wise Decisions About College. And ladies and gentlemen, as you invest in your children, I would ask you tonight to remember to pray for them. Invest in prayer with them. Pray with them and pray for them. Pray for them that they will make wise decisions. Pray for them that they will keep the biblical faith that you've raised them in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Generations. Please tune in tomorrow night as we'll bring another program with Kevin Swanson. Good night.